17th, CITR 101.9 FM presents our annual 24 Hours of Radio Art program.
On January 17th, UBC Radio CITR 101.9 FM presents our 24 Hours of Radio Art programming, featuring innovative approaches to music and sound. It's 24 hours of spoken word, ambient, drone, field recordings, collage, plunderphonics, robocalls, voicemail fails, sound research, and noise. Listen live on CITR 101.9 FM or online at CITR.ca. For more details and submission requirements, email us at radioart@citr.ca.
From 1951 to 1992, First Nation and Inuit children were placed in non-Indigenous communities to live in private homes to attend school. If you or someone you know participated in this program, compensation may be available. For details, please visit boardinghomesclassaction.com or call 1-888-499-1144 for details on eligibility, support, or opting out.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Ego trip, loosen up your grip from me. Slow burns on my kick, I need passion when you speak. Know you've been through it, life can be cruel. Let's get down to it, don't be too cool. Bashful, I built sand out of castles, but I can keep it solid and true. No, I can't be bashful, I built sand out of castles, but I can't wait to grow old with you. Every wrinkle on you came from a smile. Grip from me, I can't play it safe, I can't hide behind a tree. Whole lot that's happening, sanity don't you leave. Simple things that keep me going, grow with me please. No, I can't be bashful, I built sand out of castles, but I can keep it solid and true. No, I can't be bashful, I built sand out of castles, but I can't wait to grow old with you. Every wrinkle on you came from a smile or two. Keeping it simple, cause I ain't too cool to say to you that I choose you, I choose you, I choose you, I choose you.
You are now tuned into Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And hey, listen, do you know what? For the next hour, it's me and you. It's just me and you. This is Off the Beaten Path. Listen, if you've never listened to the show before, one of the things that I love to tell you is that we are broadcasting from the unceded traditional ancestral territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh Nation here live from the most western part of the Lower Mainland here live on from UBC's campus deep in the woods here at CITR. Listen, and if you've never joined Off the Beaten Path before and this is your first time, listen, you're in for a treat. And if you are a, you know, you're a regular, you're a loyal listener, listen, we love the regulars here. You listen, if you listen to it before, you know, kind of know what to expect. You know, we're going to talk about some of the things that are going on here in the Lower Mainland, some of the things that are going on in the province, some of the things that are going on in the country, the continent, you know, maybe adjacent continents, adjacent universes, who knows. Listen, but we can listen, I'm here going to share some great music with you, you know, listen, you know, kind of let you in a little bit on some of the things that I find to be tasteful, whether that's like a movie or a TV show. Maybe we'll talk about some stories, maybe we'll talk about some jokes, we might talk about some scammers, because listen, I haven't come across a good scammer in a long time, but there's always one right around the corner. I'm definitely going to be sharing with some great music with you all. Maybe play a little bit more music than I normally do, because I'm not really feeling, well, I'm feeling talkative. I mean, I don't know if you, I mean, listen, if you know me, you've been here before, you know that me not talkative is still pretty talkative, but I am feeling a little bit muted today. So I might just might play a little bit more music than usual, but listen, I have a lot of great music kind of set up for us to do that. So listen, every time I come to radio, listen, I'm well prepared, you know, so that me and you can just, we can just vibe out. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Listen, you can call in and you can say, tell us about like the wildest thing you got up to this summer, or you got up to this fall. Because I feel like, listen, if we're in that time period where we're in like, I call it Finter. No, that's so stupid. I've never called it Finter before. Listen, I just made that up, and it didn't work. It didn't quite work out how I wanted it to be. But listen, I have a, it's interesting because it was just Thanksgiving, just nice, you know, nice Thanksgiving. It feels a very interesting, interesting Thanksgiving as I come back to work today, and you know, not only just have a little bit of stress for myself, but it felt like everybody at work was also dealing with just kind of a little bit of stress, and not just at work, but kind of talking with some of the parents from my football team. It just feels like this Thanksgiving was a little bit less relaxing than it has been for in the past. And I, you know what, it's very interesting. I always find that to be Thanksgiving to be one of my favorite holidays, like in the sense of you can get a lot of your family together and eat a lot of food and just kind of enjoy each other's company. But then you also get a lot of differing opinions, especially around election time. I think that the election kind of brings out the worst people. And in that sense of like, it's interesting because like in my family, everybody's voting for the same candidate. Like it's like, at least they talk about it like they are, like whether, you know, what they do behind the booth, who knows. But like, you know, from, it's like, you know, we are a, I would say yeah, we're a pretty typical Black American family. And so, you know, if you look at kind of the statistics, you can see, you know, you can pretty readily guess, like, you know, kind of where, who's voting for who. And somehow my family still manages to end up in arguments that lead to people not talking to each other till at least Christmas. But I, you know, it's very interesting. I was talking to some of my coworkers and just hearing some of the things that they went through. And for me, I'm like, well, you know, this is not really my Thanksgiving, so I don't really have the same type of feelings. But, you know, it goes on. It's very, as I think this is almost the last weekend before we get to daylight savings time. So enjoy your like last few weeks of sun setting after 6 p.m. Because after daylight savings time, that shit is over with. And with that comes just a little bit of, like, I can feel the seasonal depression creeping in the sense of being like, I do not know. I think I might have mentioned this on the show before, but like, it's like, you know, when the sun sets a little too early, it's really triggers something inside of me that says, you know what, Issa, relax, sit down, watch some TV, smoke some weed. And I'm like, you know what? I've been resisting the urge, but as the winter rolls in, it's kind of hard to fight. It's kind of hard to fight. It's hard to put up a fight, but you know what? You don't have to fight everything. That's one of the things that I have learned in my life is that, like, you definitely don't have to fight everything. Not everything is your fight. And sometimes you just got to let it go. With that being said, listen, we got a lot to talk about, got a lot of music. I'm going to play some music kind of up front, off rip, off first. And then we're going to kind of jump into what some of the things that are going on in BC, some of the things that you definitely want to know about, especially as the election comes up. So I know that, you know, the election here in BC is in a few days, a little bit ahead of the U.S. election cycle. So we can talk about that. We'll definitely talk about that first, because it's important to make sure that you vote local. If you can vote, I cannot vote. So my civic duty is here telling you about some of the things that the candidates and the parties are proposing and why I would vote the way that I want to vote, like what way I would vote if I could vote. And, you know, if you're listening to this radio show, we probably got some of the same ideas. So this is my civic duty, you know, trying to get us to move forward together. You know what I'm saying? So when we get back from this musical break, we're going to talk about some of the things that the candidates are talking about. And some of these things might surprise you. Some of them absolutely will not surprise you. Surprising. When we get back after Bibby Club. Listen to a lot of French music, and you should too.
Thank you. sur le balcon au soleil sans
watching superstars about their dreams from behind. There was a long time when I didn't think I'd ever make it. I was paralyzed in my 10x10 apartment down by Sunset Park. Rats crawling in the walls, I sing out my heart. Can't really figure out what kept me going. Maybe my therapist. Don't fuck this up, don't. Or you will be sorry. Don't fuck this up, darling. Or you will be sorry.
Don't fuck this up. I say this with love. This moment for a long time, watching movies, thinking this could be all mine. Heaven knows this is all that I want. Didn't wanna go and fall right back. Is it right to leave it all behind? Couldn't see the world before my eyes. No, they always say it's just the way it goes, my baby.
Don't fuck this up.
Back it off the beam path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. Listen, if you're driving in your car, maybe you're driving Uber right now. You're just relaxing, you know, waiting to pick up your next ride, or maybe you just got off of work. Maybe you have some headphones in and you're just like, you know what I want to do is I want to make sure that I'm out here supporting the community, making sure that the voices that need to be heard are heard. Listen, you know, you can have a voice too. You can come up to CITR. Always looking for some new people, always looking for some old people. Maybe if you took a little time off and you want to come back. Listen, always making sure that we want to have all of the voices here on the radio. Give a good, not only is it just a great spot to just come here and share your thoughts, but your voice is needed. Listen, you're a part of the community and you need to understand. You need to do your part, really is what it is. Listen, a lot of people just kind of run away from doing their part when it comes to serving their community. And by me running away, they're just kind of, you know, living in their own lives, not really kind of thinking about what they need to do. They're barely voting. They're barely kind of doing even the most minimal parts. And we cannot live in the type of world we want to live in if people are just refusing to do the work, which is one of the things that I find to be kind of the most infuriating about just kind of everything. It's just kind of people's refusal to do just even the most minimal part of the work, because we all want to live in a, we all want, like, how we're living right now is not how we have to live. Like, that's the one of the things that for me that is so clear and crucial whenever I read a book, or, you know, kind of read the type of books that I read, or the type of movies I watch, or it's always about just kind of this idea is it's not the way that it has to be. And then it's always comes to a few people who are really making it happen. And for me, I see that particularly in my own life, like whether that's me or whether that's really other people, because I'm a witness to other people who just kind of make stuff happen. And I'm very fortunate to have those type of people in my life that you can just see what effort really looks like. And whether that's on like a small scale, like, whether I'm coaching football and I see that, or, it's kind of through the actions of others, and you just see that it doesn't have to be this way. And we also just don't have to put up with any bullshit. So one of the things is that, like, before we kind of get into the politics of, politics and talking about parties, one of the things is really kind of understanding and kind of laying a foundation for what you think is right and what you think is wrong. And some things are just flat wrong. Like, when I see this, I read this story. Actually, I read this last week, and then I really wanted to make sure that I talked about it on the radio this week, which was about how there's open hearings basically about whether or not, whether or not basically Canada has a legal obligation to provide First Nations with clean water. And a lawyer, the federal government, says that they have no duties to provide, basically Justice of Canada lawyers are saying that's the defense that the federal government is expected to mount in Ottawa this week as it fights a national class action lawsuit by a Manitoba First Nations named the Shamattawa First Nation. And so basically the Shamattawa First Nations has been under a boil water advisory since 2018, and they're pursuing the case for all First Nations members countrywide whose communities are subject to drinking water advisory, basically saying that the government of Canada is legally required, should be required to provide clean drinking water at a bare minimum. And I think that it is absolutely asinine that the government of Canada would say that they don't have an obligation to provide First Nations with clean water. It's so crazy because, like, for me, like, when you think about particularly Thanksgiving, like, I'm American, so when I think about Thanksgiving, I think about from the American context. And I know that it's a little bit different in Canada, but when you kind of look at the history of the holiday, it's kind of around the same thing. And it falls just one short week after Truth and Reconciliation Day. And so, as we kind of ask people to reflect on Truth and Reconciliation, you kind of ask around, what would Canada be without the suffering of Indigenous people? And not just the suffering, because it's not just that Indigenous people suffered. It's that they were made to suffer by the hands of, the colonizers who came here and took their land, and not just took their land, but took their places where they hunted, took their food, took their water, and then polluted what was left. Right. So, and then moved them to remote areas and polluted what was left. So when it says that Canada has no legal obligation to provide First Nation with drinking water, what kind of I say is that, like, they're under no legal obligation to provide drinking water, but we can provide you as much poison, toxic water as we'd like, because that's basically what you're saying. If you're not required to provide drinking water, then the water that you kind of the infrastructure that has been built, that was built by the trying to give the Indigenous people the bare minimum of what it would take to survive. And even within that, it's the bare minimum that it would take to have some people survive, because we know how many people were actually killed. That, like, you can't really stand for anything in the Truth and Reconciliation. Like, it doesn't really mean anything. And so this is a fight that's continuing to fight. And what I think is, I know we talked about this a few years ago about the Water Defenders and the Wet'suwet'en tribe defending the waterways that the pipeline was going to go over. And what you see is that kind of like every step on the front lines are Indigenous people here in this country making sure that we are, you know, we have a chance to have the type of future that we'd like to have here in Canada. And, you know, that means, you know, with clean water access and, you know, protecting the biodiversity here in Canada. And what I see for me is that a lot of people sitting on the sidelines, including myself, and just watching these proceedings and not having the spine to stand with them or to speak up behind closed doors, speak up at Thanksgiving with your family and telling and saying that, you know, these are the types of things, these are the type of issues that you care about and the type of issues that you feel like should be promoted when it comes to politics, not simply battling on who can kind of do the least to win the most votes so that they can be the next party in power. Because that's one of the things that I see when I look at just kind of the mainstream media. When I say the mainstream media, I'm looking at CBC and CTV, just kind of like who's telling me about the party platforms and what I should look at. Because last week we talked about this a little bit, but, you know, some of the parties are, you know, providing, you know, incentives to vote. So, like, I saw that the BC Conservatives have a 5-point plan on reproductive health, and one of those points is a plan to fund 2 rounds of IVF treatment for people, which I think is nice, as particularly as people are more broke and trying to figure out, you know, if they want kids at all, and then figuring that out a little bit late and then making that decision and then trying to make sure that this is a life decision that they want. And so the Conservative Party is trying to look within that. But then also liberal NDP parties are talking about having a bill to cover diabetes and birth control medication as something that they want to push. And so what you see is just kind of like, for me, it's just kind of like this like political back and forth about who's going to give us the little trinkets so that we can figure out where we want to go. You know, I saw that the BC Conservative Party is looking at rental rebates for $1,500 for renters in BC here to make sure that you're able to deduct a little bit off of your taxes the same way that people can deduct their mortgage interest off of their taxes. You know, and the NDP has some similar, and the Liberals have some similar policies, which help to limit like rent increases and, you know, kind of some things that they think we'll do. And my solution is that all I know is when I go outside in my neighborhood in Kitsilano and I see that all of the landlords, and I say all of them, you know, I would say at least one building on each block has a landlord that has put a big blue Conservative Party sign in front of their lawn. I'm not voting for the Conservative Party. I'm sorry. Well, I'm not even sorry. But, like, listen, me and my landlord, we have totally two different – we're not shooting at the same basket. Like, my landlord doesn't even live in Canada. I don't even know where that person lives. I know that the corporation that they own the building at is in Canada. But listen, my landlord put a Conservative sign in my in the front lawn, I'm going to unionize immediately. You know, like, it's just like, hey, man, enough is enough. You didn't you raised my rent so that you could buy a sign? Get fucked. Anyways. So, like, for me, that's why I'm just not voting for Conservative Party, because I'm not voting with the landlords. Simple as that. I'm not a landlord. I'm not voting with the landlords. But when it comes to just kind of like, you know, the idea, or, and then you just kind of look at the aims of these, like IVF, I think is good to fund IVF. But when I think of the people who, at least the people who I know, the people who have access to IVF, the people who want to use IVF are mostly like upper middle class, you know, people. And, you know, obviously they're voting with interest, but I'm like, you know, this doesn't feel like a, like not all the policies that I vote for, I need to kind of directly touch me or, you know, the people within my, social status, you know, wherever I'm at temporarily. I don't have diabetes, but you know, it is, or use birth control, but I think those things are important to have access to a little bit more than IVF. So, you know, I think about these types of things, and that's kind of where I vote, like kind of where do the people need the help? Because like I'll probably be all right, but people definitely need help. But anyways, but you should need some help, and you need to look into who you want to vote for, just because I can't vote. So, you know, only these things only matter but so much. When we get back, I want to talk a little bit about how a probe clears 7 Vancouver police officers in the beating of Miles Gray. And it feels just kind of fucked up to me that after 9 years, it's a probe that clears the officers rather than a trial. Stay tuned. I think, you know what? I think we should play some rap. Cause I've just been playing, listening to a lot of slow music, a lot of, I won't say sad music, but you know, we should play some hip hop. But you know what? We'll just keep it a little sexy until I find the right song.
It's not that I don't want you here. Yeah, yeah. It's something about the way you stare into my eyes. I know that I don't make things clear. No. I fall for you every time I try to resist you. We can get away. Palm trees, beach views, ordinary day. All I wanna hear is in the visions on replay. Sit right next to you. How I feel about you, thinking wish you were. But we don't really want to, I just wanna get away and sit right next to you.
Just wanna feel you, feel you. I
back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. Listen, you can call in at 604-UBC-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. One of the scariest things that I see is that really when I think about natural disasters, and when I think about natural disasters, it's not like for me, it's not just like, I don't just think of like hurricanes and tornadoes and what other earthquakes. I think I felt one yesterday. You know, I think of like, you know, just kind of like these things that are unavoidable. Like assault from a police officer. It's just like, if that happens to you, there's nothing you could do about it. Like there's literally like, you listening, maybe this has never happened to you, but if it has, it's pretty scary. You like when you get accosted by the police and there's literally nothing that you can do, and you just kind of have to like hope that the incident passes without any harm. And in 2015, the police beat to death Miles Gray. And there were 7 police officers accused of abuse of authority. Basically, in the investigation carried out by Delta Police Chief Neil Dubord, serving as disciplinary authority in latest series of investigations into a fatal encounter in Burnaby. You know, Melissa's sister said she wasn't surprised by Dubord's findings because obviously the police officers are investigating themselves. Miles Gray died after a struggle with police in a shrouded backyard in Burnaby, BC in August 2015. His injuries included ruptured testicles, a broken voice box, fractured eye socket, bruising all over. Gray was making a delivery for his Seashell-based florist business when police were called after he confronted a South Vancouver homeowner for watering her lawn during the summer's extended drought. And they had been basically waiting because the coroner concluded that the death was a homicide, and the jury's recommendation included the use of body cameras with audio capabilities for all patrols officers. So this was basically before they had required body cameras. And so basically the disciplinary Dubord officer, Officer Dubord, said that there was limited witness testimony, no cross-examination, with no testing of the evidence or arguments, with no counterweight, any discipline authority to the findings will be untested and would be incomplete. So basically these officers got off scot-free because of the fact that there's no witness and no testimony, and they tried each officer one by one rather than as a collective. And so what that means is that no officer is accountable if they're all not accountable. And that basically just means this man was murdered for no reason. And so that's why I say it's like a natural disaster. It's like, what are you going to do about it? Like, it's like a hurricane, you know, when it comes and there's nothing that you can do. So like I always make sure that I remind myself that when I think about, you know, kind of like talking about the difference between police violence here and America. It's one of those things is that, like, for me, it's just that I just don't feel like a target here, which is a little bit different than when you're at home and you do feel like a target. You do feel like that when you are encountering with the police officers. But here, it's not that the police officers aren't beating the shit out of people. It's just that they're not beating the shit out of people like me. And while I can take some personal solace in that, you know, like that on a systematic level, it's important to never forget that. And it's important to kind of always make sure that you are reminded and kind of keeping that top of mind when you're kind of assessing just kind of how life is for you and for the people around you. Because like we talk about this politics, it's always important to not just think about yourself and how these things are going to impact you or maybe the people around you or the people like you, because you are not representative of all the people. So when I think about, you know, kind of like talk about the police here. I can sometimes be lulled into this kind of wave where I can feel like, not that I'm special, but that it, since it's so different than home, that it doesn't happen, and that's just not true. So important to keep that in mind. And yeah, it's just like one of those things, kind of like, this isn't the same, but it's not different, not too far different, where, you know, like the future of BC's forests has become a huge election issue, talking about, you know, what does that look like when it comes to old growth and second growth trees, and kind of like how we want to make sure we're protecting not just the biodiversity in the forest locally here, but what does that look like on a global scale? Because I read a statistic the other day, which is that we've lost 75% of biodiversity in the last 50 years. And like, I can only imagine, when I think about it, that number has to be much larger, because if you just read the article, like these science, like one of the things is about science and science papers, scientists, is that they don't make any assumptions. See, me, I'm free to make any assumptions that I want, because like, I'm not an idiot. Like, I think that you can reasonably say that we've probably lost more than 75%. Because like, when they say 75%, they're trying to be as precise as possible, because, you know, that's under scrutiny when they come at, you know, to their papers and peer reviews and things, other things of that nature. But, you know, like I look at some of the pictures and just kind of read the stories and kind of put some things together. Like whenever I think about the amount of buffalo that used to be in the United States, and just kind of like, buffalo that used to roam, so right, so like, well, I would say United States, but really on Turtle Island, like in this entire continent, that buffalo used to migrate, and the herds would be as big as some states. Like, imagine Missouri just moving around the plains, you know, just kind of like them just moving around the plains, you know, up to Saskatchewan and down all the way to Louisiana, and just kind of east all the way to Ohio, and west all the way to Colorado. And it's just these buffalo were just moving around, and we killed 99% of the, when I say we, I mean you all killed 99%, well, we actually, killed 99% of the buffaloes in, you know, a few decades, just to starve the indigenous population. So when you talk about, you know, talk about like, you know, Canada doesn't have a right to give people water, it's like, well, you didn't have the right to kill them either, but you did, but that didn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, some of these things are like, they don't matter. And so like, but thinking about the loss of biodiversity, that's just like one population that we even think about. So like, even myself, my limited understanding of what does it look like when a buffalo herd, all I'm thinking about is the buffalo. Like, you think about all of the life that was on the fringes, or, you know, that was partnership with the buffalo. So think about the birds and how they migrated, or the snakes, or the rabbits, or the, you know, gophers, or all of this, you know, all of the animals that kind of moved and followed the buffalo. And think about the people, the way people lived, you know, kind of like the way of life that people had, not just that the people existed to eat the buffalo, but just kind of like, you know, just like, think about everything that we've lost. And so like, even when they talk about 75% of the biodiversity, like, it doesn't even take into account like what we've lost from people. You know, one of the most interesting things in this book called The Dawn of Everything that I read is just that it kind of talks about just how different, it talks about how different, how like different people used to live. Like, not just like, you know, we think about like, you know, now we think about like, you know, yeah, like you might travel to some place, and maybe you go to Algeria and you just kind of walk around Algeria and you're like, wow, the culture here is so different. And then you go to, you know, Tajikistan, and then you're like, oh man, the culture's so different here. And then you go to China and you're like, the culture's so different here. And like, but when in reality, like, we have like a few different cultures, but we all really are kind of living the same lives. Like, I won't say like we're living totally different. I mean, totally the same, but like, there's definitely such a smaller variation of what life looks like now than what it did, you know, 100, 200, 300, 400 years ago in different places where like the people had developed their culture over hundreds, thousands of years and had never been, you know, impacted by colonialism or, you know, other types of conquest. And so, like, that's not counted in the biodiversity, but we've lost so much thought and lost so much diversity in thought and diversity in the kind of what's kind of possible for us. And we have just kind of slowly just morphed into just being okay with kind of the shit that we have, when it doesn't have to be like that. And so I think that's one of the things important to remember. So thinking about the loss of biodiversity and just kind of like where we are at right now and kind of the, you know, kind of just, you know, just not that it makes me a little sad, but you're just like, oh, you know, like, what else could we do? Like, it could just be a little bit better. And so, you know, it's kind of up to us to figure out how we're going to do that. Listen, when we get back, we are going to, I'm going to talk about some funny stories. Well, funny to me, maybe funny to thee. But definitely funny to me. When we get back. And, you know, I just want to play an oldie but goodie. And I don't know if you ever heard this one, but it was one of my, you know what, I'm just going to turn it on.
Drowning me with your problems and tears about how he cheating and beating, but shit, look here, it was cool. We did the fool, been on it since high school. If I swept you off your feet, then why the fuck you jumped the broom so nimble and quick? Still calling wood, begging for dick. Excuse my French, but bitch, that was some bull ass shit. No lie, I missed the morning, moaning, flipping, feeling, fucking groaning, bending backwards, beating, phone it, like it, love it, lick it, want it, not knowing you was gonna tie it up in holy matrimony. We cool, but that shit was phony. I don't want it on me, it was straight benign. Ain't you coulda kept it, but you left it. I'm playing the hand I was given. Your ass the one that's dealt it. Don't cry, cause I candle melted, baby. Life goes on, even though I missed that brown ass in the thong. Fuck it, another day, another dame, another gal, another game, another bitch, another breezy. Take care of yourself, be easy.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I can make it better, girl. Somebody else is wild. Yeah, 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 yeah. I can make it better, girl. And I know you really like this pipe, but you're somebody else's wild.
I asked
ask you how did you want it, I meant the sex only. Gave you 9 inches, you went the distance like you was lonely. You shouldn't want me when you know I banged you in your homie. Plus you engaged to your nigga, come on, that shit is phony. You telling me you can't do without me, but here's the picture. I can't do nothing with you, but make sure this pipe could fit you. It ain't no future in us fucking, so get that out your mind. Your cock was simply just a pit stop for that one time. You catching feelings and setting you up for failure, mama. Don't wanna bump heads with your hubby, he don't want no drama. Don't let a one night stand end up in tragedy. Call it tech if it's stick and move, what's my strategy? You felt it coming when you called, that's why you hesitated. I felt it coming, this conversation's premeditated. You can love it or hate it, fake is what you made it, bitch. Stick to your niggas nuts and get the hell up off my dick.
Back with Off the Main Path here on 101.9. Listen, I know I was gonna say this, but listen, Devin the Dude, just bangers after bangers. Listen, one of the things that I find funny is that you know, people think they can try to cheat death. No. A German neo-Nazi falls to death while hiking Hitler's favorite mountain. I saw this story the other day and I thought it was quite funny, you know, but when I say funny, I mean like I listen, like hiking is dangerous. Hiking Hitler's favorite mountain because you idolize Hitler. It's weird, weird as fuck. It's weird that Hitler had a favorite mountain, and it's weird that somebody would hike it just because they wanted to be like him. But one of the things is that like I find that like. It's for me, I just kind of like watching people die stupid ways. I think it's a condition that I developed over watching 1,000 Ways to Die growing up. Like, you just have to remember, like, when, you know, kind of the time period that, you know, I was growing up in is that the internet was kind of free for all. Cable TV was kind of a free for all, and they just kind of just let you watch anything. And so I grew up, you know, watching a lot of people die on screens and laughing about it. And so, basically this guy was a senior member of the Bavarian neo-Nazi group, the Third Way, and a right-wing extremist group, and he died. Basically, some extremist groups have taken to Telegram and Facebook to crowdfund the memorial stone where he died, for his wife and child. And you know what? I can say, fuck them both. Just keep it a buck. Just because, like, one of the things is that, like, you see is that, like, more of these, like, neo-Nazis are coming out. And especially, like, as we get to kind of the American election, what you see is that, and kind of, this is something that I was reading the other day, which was really about how these people have never repented, you know, for, and maybe neo-Nazi is a little bit different, but I was thinking about, like, in the United States, we have a lot of people who would be classified as Nazis, you know, had they have the ability to be get in power, and these people have never repented. So there's never been any kind of, you know, reconciliation for them. So I don't think that there's any reason to not laugh at these people. Like, and it kind of doubles when I add and I see just kind of like people moving in kind of the, you know, the more mainstream space. Like, it's so hard sometimes to kind of reconcile that. I think that people should be smarter about where they spend their time and their money and who they spend their time and money with, because when I see something around like basically Tesla's Optimus robot at Elon Musk Wii robot event, you see that's clearly a person in a robot suit. And it kind of really pisses me off, the fact that like we're trying to sell this innovation. That's not even there yet. Like, you know, the Boring Company, that it's just like, and we continue to give, particularly Elon Musk, but like these Silicon Valley people, just so much grace and leeway about what we feel like they could bring to the world, when in reality, we're just getting fucking nothing. Like, could you imagine if like in 1996, Steve Jobs would have showed us like a piece of cardboard that had, you know, his idea of an iPhone on there and said like, one day we'll be using this to have our ID on here, buying money, FaceTiming our friends and family and calling each other. And people were like, okay, but does it work? And people are like, no. And he's like, no, it doesn't work yet. We are still about 40 years away from that. You'd be like, this is a joke. Anyways, you wouldn't get any points for being smart. And I find that we're giving that man too much points. So when it's clearly somebody controlling the robot, and it makes it, for me, it's pathetic. But anyways, that is that. That's that. I will, listen, I'll be here every Tuesday, except for next Tuesday. I will be, hopefully not in the middle of a tropical rainstorm. But if I am, just know that I will, I'll be all right. But listen, stay tuned. We have, a little bit, I'll play a little bit of, a little bit more Devin Adu before I go. But, other than that, I hope you have a good week, and make sure you get out and vote. And then also do something, because voting by itself is not enough to make the world the place you want it to be.
That's hot, man. Nah, that ain't hot, man. You bullshit. Man, that ain't hot, man.
Tenth grade sophomore, she was